Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Let's take you to Hoover, Alabama, where our Chris Goforth has been covering the SEC Media Days. We're halfway through, and today, man with the Coke bottle on the dais is going to be up there, Nick Saban, and he joins us on the WaveForward.com hotline this morning. Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Nothing much, Chris. So are you going to be bold enough to ask Coach Saban a question today? That's my question for you.
Hugh, I just hope that he doesn't spend his entire 30 minutes at the podium today with his opening statement, and he actually gives some time to allow the media to answer questions. I saw his protege there at Tennessee and Jeremy Pruitt kind of steal a page from Nick Saban's playbook yesterday. His 30 minutes on the podium, he spoke. His opening statement took 22 minutes yesterday. He left the media with about 8 minutes to ask him questions, and that is typically what we've seen from Nick Saban here at SEC Media Days.
Right, he does want to, because he, you know how he is, Chris. I mean, he didn't want to talk. What's he going to say? Well, you know, but the problem is that's when we get the best of Nick Saban, when he's being snarky and petty talking to the media.
There may be some snarky and some petty stuff that comes out with him today, especially after how that national championship game went back in January. We may see a little extra snarky Saban today.
So let's go back to Georgia yesterday and this whole do more thing. What was your impression of when you saw Kirby Smart? You know, everybody wants to know, is this the year that Georgia's going to get past that brick wall that they've been hitting over the last couple of years, get it done and win the national title? So what did you kind of glean from yesterday about where Georgia stands right now?
Well, I did like the way I thought Kirby Smart handled it head on. I didn't think he tried to dodge that question, nor did he try to dodge the expectations of what was to come. Now, with Kirby, you know you're going to get a little bit of coach speak. That's always the case with him. But, you know, I thought just from the way he, from the way he talked, I think they understand what they have. I don't think he is nearly as concerned, or at least he didn't appear to be nearly as concerned maybe with his wide receiver core as maybe some other folks are. Maybe he knows something about, you know, Lawrence Cager or Demetrius Robinson that we haven't seen yet. But, he didn't seem to be nearly as concerned with it with everybody as everybody else does. And, he had a lot of high praise for Monty Rice and the guys on his defensive side. So, to me, he sounded like a coach that come over here knowing exactly what he had and what he was going to go into the season with. And, you know, if they can keep DeAndre Swift healthy, if Zeus can give us give Georgia something out of the backfield, this has a chance with Jake Fromm manning the controls. This offense has a chance to be really, really special. And a lot of the folks feel like that, you know, this Georgia secondary could even be maybe better than last year's. And that's kind of hard to fathom when you talk about the guys they lost to the National Football League out of that group, especially DeAndre Baker. But they feel like with the guys coming back that, this Georgia secondary could be really special.
Yeah, there's no question about that. But, Chris, I have a question because we were kind of chopping it up this morning. And we know Jake Fromm is potentially going to leave for the NFL after this season. So what is Georgia going to do? Who do they have as the second-string quarterback? Who do they have that's on the roster right now that they could potentially work in if Jake Fromm decides to leave?
Well, Stetson Bennett was a kid that was at Georgia, and then he left and went. I think he came originally as a walk-on, and then he left and went to a junior college. And now he has, after a year at a junior college, he was able to get a scholarship to Georgia, and he's come back and he's on scholarship. He would be a junior going into next year, but I honestly feel like if Jake Fromm is gone, you always have to be recruiting quarterbacks. You got to almost now have a quarterback in every recruiting class. Stetson Bennett was the kid that came in this year. It wouldn't shock me at all to see Georgia go out and land another five-star in this recruiting class. and I haven't kept up necessarily with the recruiting.
Right, they got the number yet. One. Yeah, they got the number one quarterback out of Florida, Carson Beck, in this class coming in.
Yeah, see, I mean, I think that's what they would do. They would look at going in. They may bring in two highly touted quarterbacks again and let those guys battle it out. But you got to have a quarterback in every class now. So I think that's pretty much the direction that Georgia would be looking to go.
Talking with Chris Goforth, he's in Hoover, Alabama, the SEC Media Days. We focused a lot on Georgia, but yesterday Jimbo Fisher took the dais as well. You know, we talked yesterday with Phil Steele, and we brought up that there are two teams. Will Muschamp will be speaking today. South Carolina and Texas A&M are interesting in this regard. They're the two teams of the nation who both play the teams that will be ranked 1, 2, and 3 at the start of the year. That's almost unheard of. But one on the east side, one on the west side, both play Alabama, Clemson, and Georgia in their regular season. And so both have a chance to really throw a monkey wrench into the playoffs. And, you know, whether South Carolina can rise to that level, we'll see if Jake Bentley takes that next step. And everybody says he's had a good offseason. But there's a lot of thought that Texas A&M isn't far away from what Jimbo envisioned when he took the job, that they might be able to contend for the West title in the next year or so and might be the second-best team in the West this year. Is there a sense that they think that they're on the rise?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of the feeling, is that they're headed in the right direction. I think the issue that Texas A&M is going to have is they've got a really difficult schedule this year. They're going to need a break or two if they're going to try to jump over LSU and Alabama at the top in the West. They got a lot of unknowns defensively. Now, the ceiling, I think, defensively is high, but they got a lot of young guys on that side of the ball that we just don't know a whole lot about. And on the flip side, offensively, John Kellen-Mond has to be – he has the ability to be a star, and I think he has to be a star. I think he's got to have a much bigger role in the Texas A&M offense.
Talking with Chris Goforth, who's at Hoover, Alabama. One of the other teams, of course, front and center yesterday, the Tennessee Vols. You know, Chris, you know this program well. Where do we stand with Jeremy Pruitt? Where are we going with this in Knoxville?
Oh, you know, I think patience has got to be the key. You know, I know there's some folks, some of the talking heads on ESPN, some of the people at ESPN.com feel like they could, you know, they could be a 9-win team. I think that's being a little bit adventurous. I think if you're Tennessee, get 6 wins, get to a bowl game, beat the teams that Tennessee traditionally is supposed to beat, the Vanderbilts and the Kentuckys of the world. You know, beat those teams, get to 6 wins at least, and get to a bowl game. And if you can do that this year, I think that constitutes progress. One of the things Jeremy Pruitt talked about yesterday was that, you know, his first spring practice at Tennessee, he had just 6 offensive linemen. He said, we couldn't even, there were some drills that we could not do because we didn't have enough offensive linemen. So he's worked really hard now through 2 recruiting classes to try to build enough depth to get them to where they are. I think there's talent there. They're just going to be young. They're going to be inexperienced. I think they need to see a few more playmakers emerge for them. Was very impressed yesterday with Jarrett Garantano, the Tennessee quarterback, John, and just how he handled himself. And there was a comment that Jeremy Pruitt made yesterday, something to the effect of, and I'll paraphrase, but about how, look, nobody comes to Tennessee to play the way we have played. Nobody comes to have the results that we've had. And Jarrett Garantano, I thought it was great from him, because he said, hey, I want to apologize to the fans, because this is not what we came here to do. This is not what Tennessee football is or what we expect it to be. And so I do think they're on the right track. And again, I thought Garantano, just overall, the way that kid held it together and the way he carried himself yesterday, really, really impressive.
You know, Chris, I know we all speculate when it comes to this because we don't know. But how long do you really think realistically it's going to take for Tennessee to turn this program around? I was just told that they got a couple 300-pound big grown men on that offensive line. Now, how realistically, how long do you think it's going to take?
What do you determine as turning it around? If it's to get back to Tennessee in the 90s?
Ooh.
I don't know. I don't know right now with the way, you know, Tennessee back in the 90s, they were able to go over into North Carolina and pull a couple of kids out of there, you know, a Sean Bryson and a Carl Pickens. They were able to come into Atlanta and get Jamal Lewis. Those kind of borders have been cut off from them now. They're not able to recruit some of those areas that had traditionally been strongholds for them. I don't know if they can get back to that point. But as far as being back to, you know, being a 9-10 win team that can be in the mix at least in the SEC East, I want to say maybe 2 years. You know, I think this is the year that you get back to the bowl game. Next year you try to take that next step. Maybe next year is the 8-9 win season, and then the year after that is when I think you got to point your finger on what would be some high expectations for them.
Chris Goforth joining us live from Hoover, Alabama, as we get ready for the SEC Media Days today, and all those people that walk around with broomsticks and boxes of Tide on top of them with a toilet a roll of paper on top of the box of Tide, the whole roll Tide thing. You know, you posted a picture yesterday of the media and how many people were in the room, crammed into the room to try to hear Kirby Smart. We talked before this because I've been to a few of them, but this circus that this is in the SEC, especially the way they handle it, unlike the Big Ten, unlike the ACC, Chris, they bring their star players, which means they do it right. They bring their star quarterbacks. Alabama today is bringing Tua Tagovailoa. They're bringing Jerry Jeudy, Dylan Thomas. There was Jake Fromm. There was Garantano, Felipe Franks. Go down the list, Kellen Mond. They bring their star players. The other leagues, they don't do that, which I think they probably need to step their game up. But that, because of that, that gives you a unique perspective on the teams. It also creates, as we know, that fandom circus of all those people that pour in, especially today, into Hoover, into the parking lots, and into the lobbies.
Yeah, there's 20 about, well, between 25 and 30 of them, John. I counted them this morning, and the look of anticipation and then ultimate disappointment when the lobby doors to the Winfrey Hotel swung open and they realized that it was me walking in. I get the same look when I go home most days. But like I say, there was probably 25, 30 of them here at 6:30, 6:40 Central Time. So they are up, they are ready, and that contingent will grow. They'll fill up the lobby of the Hoover or the Winfrey here in Hoover. There's no doubt.
No, it is really kind of fascinating for a news conference. They can't even watch. I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean you can stay at home and get a much better view watching this thing on the SEC network. But
right,
they like to be here, and you'll hear the chants of Roll Tide, and there'll be quite the round of applause when Nick Saban and Alabama enter. And certainly when he comes down the escalator after his media duties upstairs are finished, as he rides the elevator, it's almost like the king coming down, right?
And
people break into cheers and chants of Roll Tide. It's a sight to see. I'll tell you, it is definitely a spectacle.
Chris Goforth has been joining us from Hoover and continues to follow it today. I do appreciate your insight. We look forward to Nick Saban and see if he says anything. And you're right. I mean, first thing out of his mouth is going to be something to the effect of, you know, not acceptable, you know, last time I saw my team.
Yeah, you know, he is the guy that always comes with an agenda. He's always got a point that he wants to make, whether that's to the media. Sometimes he wants to talk to his own team here with some of the points that he makes. So I'm interested to hear what his point of emphasis is today.
Thanks, Chris. Do appreciate it.
Talk to you guys soon.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.